Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee. Welcome to the Heroes of Faith. People used to ask me all the time where I learned the Bible. I said, well, I learned it teaching chapel for 10 years in a Christian school. Taught 171 days a year. And so first year, I realized I was running out of sermons. Now, I went to great Bible school, and I knew a lot, but, man, I started to run short. So I found a great children's Bible storybook by a lady named Ruth Eggemeyer, and it's just an incredible book. It's called Eggemeyer's Bible Storybook. That's a hardback book. You can find them in Barnes & Noble or just about any bookstore in America. And so she took every major story in the Bible and wrote a one-page modern English version of every story. She gave the chapter and the verse that she took it from. And so it was my textbook for chapel. So I went through that book 10 times in 10 years. So people said, where'd you learn the Bible? I went to two great Bible schools, you know, got my degree. I love theology. But I learned from teaching out of a children's Bible storybook in a chapel class. And so it's a great book. And so these are one of the stories from that. This is called What Happened to Sodom. This is about Abraham. You know, God's getting ready to start a whole race of people on this planet. He's going to find a guy, the father of our faith, Abraham, the Bible says in the New Testament. The father of our faith, Abraham. Well, God picked a guy that couldn't even have children. You know, he was too old. He was 100. His wife's 90. They couldn't have children when they could have children. They can't have them now. They're too old. And so he picks him. He pulls him out of a tent one night and says, look at the stars of heaven. That's how many children you're going to have. And the sands of the sea, can you count them? No, that's how many children are going to have. And all Abraham said was, that old guy said, okay, sounds good with me. And he believed God. Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. What does that mean? He just believed God would do what he said. He just simply believed God, who created the universe, holds everything together by the power of his words, he will do what he said. God, the Bible says, watches over his word to perform it. So we're here in Genesis 19. Great, great story. And so it says, this evening came, the people of Sodom hurried to their homes. Soon the city gates would be closed, and the wise men who judged the people would leave the gate and go out to their homes. Now, Lot was one of the wise men at Sodom's gate. He's already moved up in politics, you know. He's sheep herder, but he's moved to town. He wants to be a city boy. That evening, he saw two strangers approaching. Well, he greeted them with a bow. He bowed down real low. These were the angels who had dined with the Lord in Abraham's tent the day before. Lot said, well, come into my house and stay all night. You can get up early and be on your way. At first, the two refused. They would just spend the night in the streets. Well, because Lot knew the wicked men of Sodom would harm these strangers, he insisted they come with him. Finally, they did. Lot brought water and washed their dusty feet, prepared good food for them to eat. You know, the Bible didn't say food. It was good food. Good food. So perhaps Lot did not know they were angels, but he knew they were not like the wicked men of Sodom. Soon the news spread all over the city that Lot had two strangers at his house. Well, men hurried to Lot's house. They planned to hurt the visitors. Now, that's being very nice. That's a very nice, clean language. They planned to hurt the visitors. When Lot refused to let them see the visitors, they pushed him aside and tried to break the door open. At this, the angels pulled Lot aside, and the men of Sodom were struck blind. The angels blinded them. And the two told Lot, Sodom is so wicked that God's going to destroy it. You've got to get out of Sodom. Tell your daughters and their sons-in-laws to get out too. So Lot went to their homes, and the homes of his son-in-laws, the two men of Sodom, and he told them, we must get out of Sodom. The Lord is going to destroy it. But they did not believe. They didn't want to leave. Everybody liked the inner city, man. We got stuff happening. We got theaters and restaurants and entertainment. We like it down here. Well, before the sun rose, the angels urged Lot, take your wife and the two daughters and flee for your life. How hard it must have been for Lot to leave his home and his riches. They send some sissy home. It's a nice big old palace. But God was good to him, and the angels forced him and his family to leave the city. The angels said, run to the mountains for your lives. Now, these were the angels talking. Run to the mountains for your lives. Don't even stop long enough to look back. But Lot's wife looked back. And when she turned around and looked back at what was happening, she turned into a pillar of salt. Man, this is a... I've heard scientists try to describe this and theologians try to describe it. She just turned into a pillar of salt right there where she stood. Poor, unhappy Lot. How afraid he was. He thought, man, it won't be safe even in the mountains. So he prayed to God to spare a small city nearby and allow him and his daughters to go there. Well, God granted his request. Now, there's God again. God already had a plan, but he was, what you doing? He's going to do what the man prays. He's going to do what the man asks. Same thing with Abraham. Will you spare the city? And they said, sure. Will you spare the city for this many? Yes. Will you spare for this many? Yes. Here's the line. Hey, will you just spare a city so we can go in it? Yes. God says, you have not because you ask not. Prayer is a powerful thing. So anyhow, they fled to the city. It was called Zoar, which means littleness. Well, there's a big name, which. Just as the sun rose, Lot and his daughters entered the gate of Zoar. Then a great rain of fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah and all the neighboring cities. Everything, and I mean everything, was destroyed. Lot later and his daughters feared that they were not safe in Zoar, so they went out to the mountains. There they lived in a cave far away from the other people. So this is as far as the last we hear about Lot. Lot and the man whose home and his riches were destroyed because he chose to live among the wicked people of Sodom. This is one of those sad stories here. Somebody became a billionaire, invented something, did something, but got to hang with the wrong people, got thinking too big of himself. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. You know, pride goes right before a fall. Don't be lifted in pride. The Bible says humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God exalts the humble, but he'll crush the proud. So it's just hard. So let's pick up Genesis chapter 20. After Sodom and the other cities of the plain had been destroyed, Abraham left Hebron. He journeyed south and west in the land of the Philistines. Gerar, near the Great Sea, you know, he made his home. Here, God gave him and Sarah a son. Abraham named the child Isaac, which means laughing. So both Abraham and Sarah had laughed when God told them they would have a son in their old age. Now we got a child named Laughing. That's funny. So Isaac's parents thought he was a wonderful little baby. When Isaac grew old enough to toddle around the tent, say a few words, Abraham gave a great feast for him. Ishmael, the son of Sarah's maid, Hagar, who lived in Abraham's tent. Although Ishmael was much older, he and Isaac sometimes played together. At the feast, Ishmael made fun of Isaac, and he made him jealous, probably. So Sarah saw this. Saw what Ishmael was doing, and she became angry. She pulled Abraham aside and I said, you're going to have to send Ishmael and his mother away. For I don't want our little boy to grow up with Ishmael being made fun of all of his life. I mean, you talk about blended families, and people said, what about blended families? Well, there have been many blended families in the Bible. Jesus grew up in a blended family. I'm sure his brothers and sisters say, we know who our father is. We don't know who your father is. You know, because you know the whole back thing about even when Mary became pregnant. And Joseph thought, I'm not going to marry you. Who you been sleeping with? So an angel had to appear to him and let him know, this is the Son of God. This is a supernatural virgin birth. I mean, it's an incredible story. And so Sarah's mad, I want you to send the kid away. So the problem was Abraham loved Ishmael too. He didn't know what to do. So God told him that, nice, don't grieve, send the boy and his mother away. I promise that Ishmael will become a great nation, and he'll start one and become a great nation. And so he did. So the next morning, Abraham told Hagar that she must take Ishmael and go away. He gave her food and water for the journey. Abraham said goodbye, and he watched them as they started toward Egypt, where Hagar had lived as a little girl. As Hagar walked through the desert, she remembered the time the angel spoke to her, and she ran away from Sarah. On the second journey, Hagar got lost, wandered off into the wilderness. After a while, there was no more food, no more water. Hot sun was beating down on something fierce. Hagar and Ishmael grew so thirsty, so faint, so weak, they couldn't go no further. lovingly Hagar laid her son beneath the shade of a little brush and went away. I cannot bear to see him suffer and die, she sobbed. But God had not forgotten about Hagar and the boy. Soon he heard a voice. She heard the voice from heaven. Well, why are you sad, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard Ishmael's cry. I mean, she said, listen, I know your boy's crying. I heard it. God said, I've heard the cry. Listen, you never had a child suffer that God didn't know about it. God knows everything, hears everything, sees everything. He's been 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, God sees and knows everything. He's already made a way out. But we gotta use our faith and pray and get God involved. God said, I'm going to save his life. I will make Ishmael a great nation. And they go and lift him up. Then Hagar saw a spring of water bubbling out of the dry ground. Quickly she filled her empty bottle and gave Ishmael a drink. Hagar and Ishmael did not go on to Egypt, made their home in the wilderness, far from the other people. And God cared for them. And Ishmael grew up to be a strong man of the outdoors. He became a hunter, skillful with a bow and arrow. His children also grew up in the wilderness and were like their father. What were they skillful? They were blessed. They were people of God. I still all the time, you know, you talk about the children of Ishmael, most of the Arab nations, they own most of the oil. Then you got God's people, you know, Isaac, and the Jewish people of Israel. And so you got two of the most powerful people in the world. What happened? Well, they were the children of Abraham that God had promised them, and God did what he promised to do. And so there's always two stories. I tell people, don't ever just listen to one story. You got to get the big picture. You got to get the whole picture. So here we have, you know, Abraham is like, man, I finally got me a son. Well, you know the story. You kind of go back and remember, Abraham couldn't have a baby. You know, we just think about him as being impotent. And so this is long before Viagra and Cialis and all the things that are advertised today. Abraham, he didn't work anymore. He's an old guy. Well, all of a sudden, you know, Abraham, he's working again. So I'm sure hearing Sarah just hugging and kissing and loving and having a good time. And so weeks go by and he realizes something. You thought I was the problem, Sarah. You're the problem. So Sarah said, well, okay, take my handmaid and have a baby with her. So he takes Hagar and they have sex and she gets pregnant. And so this boy's born. So Abraham thinks, well, this is God. Here it is. You know, Ishmael, this is my son. And so then finally Sarah becomes pregnant. And so Isaac's born. And so the two boys, you know, hanging around together, they're wrestling, they're fighting, making fun of one another. And so Ishmael begins to make fun of Isaac. So we've got sibling rivalry before you even heard the term. And so finally, Sarah one night said, they're getting ready to go to bed, and she tells her husband, you got to get rid of that other woman. You got to get rid of that kid and that other woman. Well, God loved them. Abraham loved them. But he knew something. Man, I got strife in my home. I got to get rid of this other kid, this other woman. And so wakes up the next morning, loads them up with food and stuff to travel with, said, you got to leave. I'm sorry, but Sarah's the one. You got to leave. Isaac was the promised thing. Ishmael was my idea. Isaac was God's idea. But God still loved Ishmael. He told, listen, I promised you I'd make your child a mighty nation. I didn't lie. Now, Isaac was my plan. Ishmael was your plan, but I will bless your plan. I will bless this kid. He will become a mighty nation. He'll become a mighty man and a great warrior, and his kids will be just like him. And so God never lies. He tells the truth. He's just looking for somebody to believe him. Anybody want to believe God today? You know? So every day, God says, I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. I've told my kids their whole life, when they were young, when they're older, when they're in the college, when they become an adult, you get to believe God every day. We live on an alien planet. This world is not our home. We are passing through, like the old song said. But every day, we get to use our faith. You know, the Bible says that without faith, the Hebrews, without faith, we don't please God. Without faith, 1 Peter says, we don't whip the devil. We need faith. But there's all kinds of faith. There's great faith, little faith, weak faith, no faith. The most important thing you'll ever give your child is faith. Make sure they're in church, fellowship with the saints. Read your Bible a little bit every day. Build up yourself on your most holy faith, the book of Jude says. You need to have strong faith because you need that to live on this planet. It'll make room. It'll bring forth kings. Great faith's going to be a blessing to you. But faith is a muscle. You got to keep working it. I mean, I remember when I worked, you know, I was in school. I played sports and football and baseball and wrestling. And so we had a weight room. And the more time you spent in the weight room, the better you did on the football field, the better you did on the baseball field, the better you did at the wrestling match, because you're going up against somebody else that's trying to beat you, you know. So the competition was good. And so what happens is, like, here's these two kids. You got to listen. These are my idea, but you got ahead of me. You got ahead of me, Abraham. I did promise, and I will bless this young man. And he did. It's an incredible story. And most people say, well, where did the Arab nation come from? Children of Abraham. Where did the Jewish nation come from? Children of Abraham. You go back to Abraham. God doesn't lie. God promised to bless, to empower their seed forever. Amen. If you want to look up the population, both the Muslim people, the Jewish people, we got power. Why? God promised. God. Now, are they perfect? There are no perfect people. There are no sinless people. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. Well, not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. But God also made certain promises. And there were certain promises to the seed of Abraham and specifically, you know, to Isaac. You know, when Isaac became a young man, you know, they went to the mountain every year to offer sacrifice. And the mountain they went to is where you go to Israel today. It's where the Dome of the Rocks is today. That big rock's where Abraham went long before there was a dome. That's where Abraham went to sacrifice every year. And they go up there and pile rocks and build a have a sacrifice and build a fire. And so they went like they went every year. And so several people leave the camp, go out to the mountain. Most of them stay at the foot of the mountain. You know, Abraham and his son Isaac go to the top of the mountain. They build the altar. They get the wood. They build the fire. And the Bible tells the story, you know, in Genesis 22. It says, hey, Isaac said, hey, Dad, we forgot the sacrifice. No, son, lay down here a minute. I need to tell you a story. So he ties Isaac up, and he lays Isaac, his son, on the altar. And he said, you're the sacrifice. I'm sure Isaac's thinking, what in the world? My dad that believed God for me, my dad that God's blessed with, he's going to kill me? And so you know the story. The Bible says Abraham had said within his heart, if God has to, he'll raise this kid from the dead. So Abraham's knife went up over his son. God saw his heart, and God said, don't. I saw your heart. In your heart, Abraham, you just gave me your son. And so what are you going to do? Well, because of that, there's a ram caught in that thicket over there. Use that ram as a sacrifice. Not your son, the sacrifice. That's by faith. You know, that's, the Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, in the temple, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And what does that mean? Well, Jesus died for all mankind. There are no more bulls, no more sheep, no more goats, no more turtle doves. What it's done by now is by faith. What do you have faith in? That Jesus died for me and that God raised from the dead, Romans 10:9-10. How'd you get born again? My faith is in what Jesus did for me and what he's doing for me right now. He's at the right hand of the Father praying for me. So as a family, you need to take courage. God had a plan from the beginning. God knew Adam and Eve were going to go stupid. God knew they were going to sin, get fired, evicted, kids start killing each other. God had a plan to save us. So the righteous live by faith today. What do you believe? I believe that God's son paid for my sins, that God raised from the dead. I believe God's son's making intercession for me in heaven right now. I believe there's so many angels, can't count them. We are a blessed people. What's your job? I'm not trying to survive. I'm trying to be a blessing to everybody. Every day I get up, I'm trying to leave everybody better than I find them. So what a story it is. You ought to read it several times, you kids. It is an incredible testimony. And so testimony, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You don't have a testimony unless you've been tested. So God's given us faith to overcome. By faith, we overcome. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.